welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I'm Liz Loza, and today it's a special day because I am joined by Yahoo draft expert. It is his time of year, Eric Edholm. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a deep dive into some of the prospects that are very likely to be picked early in the 2022 NFL draft. Talk about who they are as players, where they come from, what sort of fantasy impact we believe they could make. We're going to be doing this position by position, one per week, and only the ones that pertain to fantasy, like I just said, between now and the draft. We're going to kick things off today with a look at the top running backs in the 2022 class. Eric, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It is my time of year. My kids might disagree, but, you know, it's fun to be here. I love the series that we've, I think, done now, what, 3-4 years in a row? It's pretty cool.
This is the third year.
Third year.
Some tweaks to the Rookie Snapshot Pod. We all right. have to tweak it a little bit because sure. every year is a new crop of talent. So
yeah.
maneuvered accordingly. Any thoughts about the running backs off the top from you, our expert?
Yeah, I think the general consensus is it's not a wild and crazy year for running backs. I mean, I think there's certainly some good talents, and you know, two or three of these guys will probably be their respective teams' leading rushers at some point in years, you know, 1, 2, or 3 or what have you. But and a couple other kind of unitaskers, if you will, guys who do one thing really well or one or two things pretty well, who will have their footprint on their teams, but. You know, there's probably not a true superstar in this class. There's one or two that I really like above the rest. But yeah, it's a good crop. It's not an amazing one.
We know that in fantasy, though, running back, even if the market isn't massive financially for the position, that rookies do often make an immediate impact. And so for redraft in particular, it's important to look at these guys. You mentioned one or two at the top. I agree. You know, it reminds me of the year that David Montgomery came out, right? A relatively shallow class in terms of consensus talent. I think that probably is a great place to start because Breece Hall, who filled David Montgomery's role when he left for the NFL, mm-hmm. is generally the consensus number one running back in this class. A couple of stats just so people can kind of close their eyes and imagine: 5'11", 217 pounds. He's 20 years old. He'll be 21 at the end of May. He was a 4-star recruit, ranked inside the top 150 players at the position coming out of high school, 22 scholarships, lots of interest from big name schools, including Michigan and Oklahoma, but he decided to commit to Iowa State after a single visit. Like I said, he filled David Montgomery's shoes as a true freshman from 2019 through 2021. He strung together what many could call a storied college career. He became the first unanimous All-American in Cyclone history as a sophomore, and he set a new NCAA record for number of scores in consecutive games this past season with 24.
He was a monster there. I mean, you know, Montgomery was obviously, you know, a very, you know, household name and has become a starting running back in the NFL. And of course, he was sort of made famous with that memeable ESPN graphic. I think that, you know, compared him to every Hall of Fame running back on the planet, I want to say. But yeah, I mean, Breece Hall quietly has had a phenomenal college career. And, you know, the team's success has been okay. But really, you know, his individual performances behind what I think is not a great offensive line has been terrific, especially this past season. But yeah, he stepped right in as a freshman, looked great. So this is a pro back right here. He's got the look, no doubt about it.
What was the first word that came to your mind when you were reviewing his tape?
Yeah, it's got to be burst. I mean, he really can explode and rip off the home runs. I mean, you know, you give him a crease and he's gone, and it just is that kind of quick acceleration, especially. You know, it reminded me a little bit of early career Le'Veon Bell in that regard, where, you know, he'd sort of tiptoe to the line and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, turn on the after jets. And, you know, as he got bigger, his speed diminished. But, you know, early on, you could see once he had lost weight a little bit, the exceptional burst. But talking about Breece Hall, you know, his body composition is terrific. He had a great workout at the NFL Combine, yeah. Maybe even a little bit better than I thought he would. But yeah, he's really got the total package in terms of running the football. You can question his third down value, but that burst is really, I think, his superpower, if you will.
Well, you mentioned the combine. I think his showing at the combine help solidify his position as the likely RB1 off the board. He recorded speed and burst scores well inside the 90th percentile. So in terms of full package, that's certainly physically what he brings to the table. I also think I think he's wildly patient, and that's a really maybe underlooked part of his game. My first word was focus, because you can just see him lock in, like the way he reads the field. You can watch his eyes. He locks in on a hole, and he uses that speed and burst to just get right through it. So I think there's a lot of layers to his game. He's not just a physical freak, but also has some maturity to, you know, his technique and the feel for the game as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's easy to look at the long runs and just say, oh, he's a speed guy, or, you know, he's just got that straight ahead speed. But, you know, you watch the way he would kind of manipulate would-be tacklers. You know, I mean, he would kind of draw them in and then juke out to the outside, or, you know, take angles that they couldn't reach him at. I mean, he was very creative in open space too, and he could fit through some tight holes as well. I mean, again, running the football with his desire, his leg churn, and also those physical traits that we talked about. Boy, I mean, he looks like your classic bell cow back from that respect. I mean, you want to question his third down value? I'm fine with that. He's got some work to do, but first and second downs, this is your man right here.
And I am assuming you're talking about the questions around his third down value because of his use as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really until his final year that he got a real crack at it. But I do think, you know, if we're talking about layers of talent, the progression that he made over his college career is evident in what he put together from a pass catching point of view in that final year.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of relegated to, you know, screens and dump offs and little flares and things like that. You know, it was fascinating because I'd watched, I think, four games of him, and I realized I didn't see a target more than about 5 yards downfield. So I went deeper, and, you know, I think he was, you know, thrown to four times beyond 10 yards in three seasons. So, you know, it's not to say that he can't do it. I mean, I think he's shown pretty reliable hands. The pass protection skills have got to get better. Again, something I think with the right technique and time, he can be good at. He's not even 21 years old yet, as you pointed out. So, you know, these parts of his game, I think, can mature. Not everybody walks into the league a third down machine. Some guys can, some can't. Some can get better at it. I think he's probably one of those guys. But to me, he's more of your classic lineup in the backfield. You know, when you're not going tempo, you sub him out on third downs until he gets acclimated to it. It's not that they can't throw him the football on first and second down. It's just that when it comes to the pass protection skills a little bit, I don't know that I would trust him in week one picking up Von Miller or whatever. I don't think that's going to work pretty well for you.
Any concern about the odometer rating, right? 800 touches in college. One side of the coin is, wow, he was so productive. The other side of the coin is, oh my gosh, there's some tread on the tires here.
Yeah, over a 3-year period, that's a high number. Now, I mean, you could argue that there have been backs that have come into the league with over 1,000 carries and have, you know, have just been fine in the early parts of their career. But it's something to watch, right? And, you know, I mean, if there's another negative, it's that he had some, you know, a couple of costly fumbles last season, lost to Iowa, I want to say, in the third quarter, you know, cost his team points on both of them. The one against West Virginia, too, was costly. The workload and the injury factor that comes along with it. We mentioned the third down stuff. I mean, those are all, I think, fair questions, but it's not anything that I'm going to terribly shred him down for, because you pointed out, I mean, they did expand his role a little bit last season. He did appear comfortable with it. So you can kind of take baby steps with this, and depending on where he lands, I think he should be fine in that respect.
Who are you comping him to?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because a couple different guys came up, and then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, let me just take a look at this. And I started looking at Jonathan Taylor. And
oh,
I went,
fantasy heads are going to love that
I
one,
mean,
Eric.
Honestly, he's not as big. He's about, you know, 10, 12 pounds lighter. He's a couple inches shorter. So physically speaking, he's a little bit more compact of a version. But basically the same usage in college. Remember, we questioned whether Taylor could be a third down option. And, you know, he would catch those little short passes and stuff. I mean, the usage was almost exactly the same. High, you know, carry volume, true workhorse back. Not a ton of third down value beyond whatever he could do athletically. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I didn't even want to say poor man's Jonathan Taylor. I wanted to come strong and just say he's got a lot of elements of Taylor's game in what he does.
Well, and it's interesting because you said you didn't believe, and I agree with you, that the Cyclones had a particularly good or effective offensive line. And so the fact, and we know that that was one of the question marks for Taylor coming out, right? Is Wisconsin's line is solid, and is there something being hidden there? And of course, he landed in Indianapolis, which is like another gift in terms of O-line.
Yeah.
Right. But I think those questions have been answered. And so the fact that Hall is coming to the table with productivity despite the line and earning a comp to Taylor from you says a lot about his overall ability and skill set. We're mentioning the odometer rating and the carry load. I think maybe that's why I was leaning more towards DeMarco Murray. We all know how that career ended.
Yep.
I think we should all remember how it started, though, you know, pretty prolifically. I also look at the measurables, and I just think that, like, Murray's, you know, the speed, the burst, all of that, the pass catching eventual use as a pass catcher, kind of all folded into me that there are shades of that sort of skill set in Hall's ability.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray ran a sub 4.4 in college, I believe. Check me if I'm wrong. I might be, maybe he was a little over, but I mean, he was fast and big and, you know, this tough guy. And, you know, I was at one of his games when he had 40 carries. Like, I don't think that's how, you know, Breece Hall is necessarily going to be used, but he could. I mean, he had games where he was in the high 20s and even, I think, a couple 30 carry games too. So I see it. Absolutely. I think, DeMarco Murray was a workout guy early in his career before, you know, those carry totals kind of wore him down most likely.
Let's move on to the next player. It's Kenneth Walker out of Michigan State. Now, I think I'm just going to say off the bat that I think probably most analysts, not fantasy, but just straight, you know, talent evaluators would believe that Kenneth Walker, even though we're talking about him behind Breece Hall, is probably the best pure rusher in this year's class. 5'9", 211 pounds, 21 years old. He'll be 22 in October. Would you agree with that before we dig in here?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm a big Breece Hall fan, but it was so impressive watching him kind of burst onto the scene. You know, he was sort of a change of pace guy at Wake Forest. They sent him up to Michigan State. You know, it wasn't like this ballyhooed transfer move that, you know, the Spartans fans thought was going to deliver him a championship. And all of a sudden, this guy, you know, I think in his second game broke the school record for longest run. And you saw you talked about Hall's patience and instincts. I think Walker's got those as well. I mean, he really lets his blocks develop. You know, he can run with physicality when it's called for. And when it's, you know, it's time for him to put his foot in the ground and drive downhill, he can do that too and make, you know, 15-yard runs consistently. So, yeah, I think from a scheme versatility standpoint, you know, you could use him in a man scheme, you could use him in a zone scheme. He breaks tackles no matter where you have running on the field. So, you know, I think one of the phrases I used in my scouting report was like, he makes lemonade out of lemons a lot, where looks like he's sort of trapped in the backfield and he can either burst through a tackle attempt to gain, you know, get back to the line of scrimmage and save 2 or 3 yards, or you can just sort of, you know, cut to the edge and just get enough to make a gain out of it. And you saw that a lot where plays that should have been -3 or -4 ended up being -1 or no gain. And that, those are big plays for an NFL team. They matter. They matter to fantasy,
and we all love an underdog. I mean, yes. This kid's story is so easy to root for. I mean, he also 3-star recruit out of Arlington High School, which is in Tennessee, despite the fact that he managed over 3,500 yards and 41 touchdowns in high school. So, like, great career.
Yeah.
Only received 3 offers from FBS programs. You mentioned it, went to Wake Forest, was like, I don't really think this is doing it for me. And then at Michigan State, like, in his first carry as a Spartan, he rips off a 75-yard touchdown, and everyone in East Lansing, like, their heads exploded. Like, oh my gosh. If you watch that, just that opening of the game, the stands are out of control. And then, you know, he went on to find the end zone like 18 more times throughout 2021. He won the Doak Walker and the Walter Camp Player of the Year awards. Like, what an incredible what an incredible example, I guess I should say, of, like, giving a player a shot and him no pun intended, running with it.
Yeah. I mean, this is, he is the epitome of the transfer portal in my mind, you know, right? I mean, you know, there's some people who poo-poo that stuff, or, you know, guys who switch teams multiple times. And I get that. I mean, I understand that part of it. But he was in an offense at Wake Forest that didn't suit his skills. You know, this is a team that was going to be throwing the football 50 times a game. And, you know, he's not really a good fit in that type of system. Where better to go than Mel Tucker and Michigan State? It was the perfect transfer in a lot of ways, and the perfect usage of that player. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is it's so great this time of year when I can write, all right, this guy was a 5-star, this was a 4-star, this was top 100. You know, we had a few 0 star recruits come through as first round prospects. It's crazy this year. So there's a good mix of talent.
Give me the first word that came to your mind when you saw him play.
Yeah, compact. Like, he's got this sort of bowling ball like frame, which I don't know if that makes, I mean, like, I think when you first start watching him, you think of him as kind of a bigger guy, but, you know, he's got that 5'9 height and he's, what, 210 or whatever he is. You know, he's sort of built more like Mark Ingram a little bit. And that was one of my comps, but I mean, style-wise, I don't think he necessarily runs like Ingram. But, you know, it's really almost surprising when you notice he's not a real big guy, but he's got power in his game. You know, he's was the best tackle breaker in college football last year. So, you know, don't underestimate that part of his game. It's compact is actually a compliment in this case.
I also just think he's like controlled chaos. Like, he's a little frenzied, but not frenetic necessarily. Yep. It would be frenetic if it wasn't so damn effective, to your point, right? Yeah. Like, he's just able between the and sometimes it could be a little much. You know, I think the thing that he is the best at is also, like, is there a little bit of dancing sometimes? Does he, you know, he's a Libra, man. We're indecisive. I get it. I'm a Libra too. Like, it's, oh, this way. But he has the physical skills to be able to, whichever way he chooses, just like kind of hypnotize these defenders with all of his jukes and jump cuts and head fakes. All of it works together in this controlled chaos. It's a really beautiful symphony, if I can like wax poetic for a second, to like watch his cyclone of energy on the field. Yeah. And again, it's unpredictable and exciting and effective. At least it was at Michigan State.
I remember watching, I think it was TJ Yeldon in college, and thinking the same thing.
Oh, don't comp him there.
No. I just meant like from like, you know, like he was a really good college running back who was like, you know, it looked like people, or Eno Benjamin or somebody like that in Arizona State, where you said it's like, you know, trying to tackle a little pocket of wind or something like that. It's just really hard to do. I mean, he's you're right. I think it's like a rolling ball of knives. Maybe that's a better description of it there, because it's power, it's speed, it's short area quickness, it's everything. Say, you know, even a bigger issue though than Hall is his receiving ability. His numbers pale in comparison to what Hall did. So again, both are great first and second down runners, but those questions will arise.
And that's the issue for fantasy, right? Yeah. Everybody plays in some sort of PPR friendly format. Our standard is a half point PPR. So the question we've learned, right, that just because a player didn't do something in college doesn't mean they can't do it at the next level, but it just means that opportunity and potential ROI is diminished. So it's not his potential as a pass catcher, but we have to go on what we've seen, and there isn't a whole lot of data supporting his immediate impact as a pass catcher.
I agree. Yeah, I think had Wake Forest seen that ability, it would have tried to mine it. Had Michigan State seen something in practice with his ability to catch the football, they would have used it more often. He really was like a true outlet passer, like the dump off if you have to get it to him in the flat or something, occasional screen here and there. You know, that's probably what he's going to be limited to early in his career. But depending on where he lands, maybe you get enough of the first and second down runs and, you know, third and short work as well to make it worthwhile and have him, you know, still offset that lack of receiving.
So you said you comped him body-wise to Mark Ingram. What about traits-wise?
Yeah, I see like a little bit of Raheem Mostert in him. And I think it was probably because I was a little bit surprised, maybe. I remember seeing Mostert's pro day numbers and being like, whoa, you know, is that the same guy I watched in college? And I think the same was true a little bit with Walker. I kind of assumed that he might be in the, you know, low 4.5s, maybe high 4.4 range, but he ran a terrific 40-yard dash, had really good workouts overall. He's just a better athlete than I kind of realized. And I think that probably applies a little bit, athletically speaking, to Mostert. But again, that ability to rip off long runs when it's, you know, in kind of eye-catching fashion too. You're almost shocked at how easily it comes to both of those guys at times. But, you know, injuries and different factors as well. So it wasn't, you know, it's not a perfect comp, but it's sort of a little bit of an athletic quotient, I would say.
I mean, if you're giving me Mark Ingram's size and theoretical durability and Raheem Mostert's like traits is 4.38 speed, then
10th pick in the draft.
It's pretty great. Yep. For me, I saw a lot of J.K. Dobbins. I loved J.K. Dobbins coming out.
Me too.
I will say, asterisk to J.K. Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins was one of the best pass protectors in class. This is not the case for Walker, which we know and we've heard time and time again in fantasy is one of the pitfalls to drafting a rookie, right? Like we talked about it earlier, too, with Breece Hall.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, that's part of, you know, obviously there's the scouting aspect and there's the fantasy aspect. And when you blend the two together, you know, it's easier to have a little bit of a lesser view of both guys because of that. And of the two, I would probably say Breece Hall would probably be a little bit, you know, better suited to step in and be a little bit more dynamic as a pass catcher, just from what I've seen. But, you know, I think at some point, maybe Walker can add that element to his game. You know, similar, I mean, like I mentioned Jonathan Taylor earlier, I think there were people before his final year of college who thought he would never be able to catch the football. He had stone hands and this and that, but he got better at it. And, you know, he's functional at that in the NFL. And that's, for some teams, it's maybe all you need.
There is a third player that's been part of this top-end consensus mix. In fact, I would say that Isaiah Spiller out of Texas A&M was probably neck and neck with Hall for most of the year until the combine. He had an injury and wasn't able to test, and the numbers underwhelmed. He slid a little bit. But let's talk about him, because I think he was probably one of the most exciting prior to the new year. 6 foot tall, 217 pounds, 20 years old, which is something people love. He won't be 21 until August. So we know in Dynasty in particular how much we love young players, particularly at such a volatile position. 4-star recruit out of Klein Collins High School. Lots of big name attention, Alabama, Oklahoma. But he wanted to stay close to home, went to Texas A&M, which ironically was the same place that his father went to. His dad, Fred Spiller, played tight end for the Aggies. Mm. So have to imagine there was a little bit of a familial connection swaying him that way. But he contributed immediately as a true freshman, started 9 of 13 games, led the team in rushing. As a sophomore, I love this stat. I don't really go deep into college stats, to be honest, but like, he recorded 6 100-yard games over 8 starts and 10 contests played. 6 100-yard games. It blows my mind. Also earned all SEC first-team honors that year. And then last year, over 1,000 yards on 179 carries over 12 starts. And also, this is the big thing about Spiller, 25 grabs in his final season, and also recorded his first receiving touchdown in 2021.
Yep. He's a really interesting guy. And when I started doing a little bit of work for the 2022 draft back in last summer, just kind of getting familiar with the guys, not hardcore tape watching, but you know, he was one who stood out. There was a couple of games in 2020. I want to say one was, I don't know if it was the Colorado game or something like that. I'm trying. No, that would have been this year. Colorado was this year. I think it was probably the LSU game that I watched of him in 2020. And I said, whoa, okay. You know, and I may have even been watching somebody else and just said, all right, this kid's legit. And he never quite put it together this year. I don't want to make it seem like he had a bad year, but there was some, you know, some disappointing moments in games and things like that. And you know, just kind of left me wanting a little bit more. He had the fumble against Mississippi State, and you know, he was held in check against Alabama. Touchdown totals weren't anything special. You know, it was just, I felt like he underwhelmed me a tiny bit, and then the combine workout happened, and it was like, do I kill him for this? Is it, you know, and I really had to go back and watch the tape, and I regained some of my appreciation for him, but he's just outside my top five backs. And I have all those guys closely ranked, but I see a little bit more.
So you're lower on him than consensus, though, because he's number three almost everywhere else.
Yeah, I don't feel that way, but I don't feel like he's that far off from it either. Creativity wise, I think he's got all the vision and, you know, the short area burst you're looking for. He's tough. He's going to run through some contact. You know, I think he's pretty good at making the first man miss. You know, he's just got enough wiggle there, and he'll string enough, you know, 10, 12, 15 yard runs together to volume his way to 80, 90, 100 yards and things like that. He made a spectacular catch against Colorado that was, you know, it showed real great body control and concentration. And it just, I think he's young. And I mean, you mentioned young as being a good thing. It is. I think he still needs a patient running back coach to kind of get the best out of him. And I would love to see what that product is, because it could be really, really good.
It's interesting you said that he's lacking that patience. I think you're right. And I hadn't put this together. I watched an interview with him, and when he was asked to describe his playing style, he just sort of shrugged and said, I see a hole and I hit it.
Yeah.
And that's right. And you're like, oh, how sweet and earnest and young, frankly. But also, you're missing that extra level, that shade, that patience that we talked about with Hall, the focus, the ability to read the field, like that evolution of skill set. So I think what you're honing on is something he admitted, whether he realized it or not. I also appreciate, like, I thought he had really good jump cuts. There's nothing bad about his game, right?
Yep.
I thought he's kind of boring, to be honest. Like, it's a little bit, you know, it might be, I love your comp. I'm just going to say Damian Harris is a guy that I love because he's like a jack of all trades, but a master of none. But for fantasy, like, productive, right? You know, you can get him in there. You know, he's going to get you something. I did comp Spiller to Joe Mixon, but I think that that's a ceiling. I think that that's a bit of a reach, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah. Maybe not the same kind of speed, but yeah, I think the same running style is there. He's got a pretty big frame. He can take some hits, and tough kid, right? He'll pop right back up. I think part of it too, and somebody had kind of pointed this out to me probably in the, you know, I was actually at the combine, and you know, I was sort of bemoaning him a little bit because I came into the year kind of hyped and ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is my dude, Isaiah Spiller. RB1.
That was everybody, yeah.
Yeah, and they said, you know, one of the problems was, I mean, they had Kenyon Green, who's probably going to be a first-round pick at guard, but the line lost a lot of talent from the year before. So, again, another, you know, like we said with Iowa State and Breece Hall, you know, maybe not an ideal group up front. Plus, I really think, you know, in using Harris as my comp, I thought I would love to see him go to a New England-style power gap scheme, right? I mean, that's, I think, where he's best. They didn't do a ton of it. They ran a lot of inside zone, a lot of outside zone, you know, a lot of mid zone and stuff. And so it was like, you know, I don't know that that's the best way to use him. He can do it, but some of that lack of patience you said, I think, is also because of the scheme fit. I think he's just better at kind of going downhill and playing with power. I think that's really where you're going to get the most out of him.
I think he needs more juice than that, though, because he gets tied up on ankle tackles. Like, he can break all the arm tackles, but the ankle tackles, I don't know if it's because he's got kind of long legs, so he brings his knees up a little bit high or gets tangled, it looks like, maybe.
Yeah, and, you know, some of it, too, like, I, you know, you watch him on some of those zone runs, and you know, I don't know that he sort of presses the hole the right way, and he just, like, the timing and the feel of it fell off, and so I don't know if my theory is right or not. I mean, I hadn't really thought about the ankle tackle part. That's an interesting observation you made. But yeah, he frightens me a little bit. Like, he's got a fear factor about him that makes me think that, you know, it's not a guaranteed success. But boy, if he gets in the right system, I think with the right coaching, he could be something.
Okay, so we haven't talked about landing spot, and I wanted to wait until we finish the top three. We have two more players we're going to rapid fire through, but I like the idea of talking about landing spots later, because there are obviously three giant landing spots that feel like we've got Atlanta, we've got the Texans, and we might have the Bills.
Yeah.
And so it feels like with these three prospects, those would be the three best landing spots. I'm not I'm not 100% sure that even though Breece Hall is likely to be the first running back off the board, he's going to go to the most fantasy friendly spot.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it, too, because, you know, it would require the Bills to use their first round pick to do so or trade back from, where are they, 25 or whatever, you know. And so they've been connected a lot. You remember when Alvin Kamara was connected to the Bills every single year? I always remember that for some reason. It feels like Breece Hall to the Bills has been like the sort of RB connection that everyone's making. But again, it's going to require taking a possible, you know, or taking a guy possibly in the first round who may not deserve to go there, or the value may not be there in the Bills' mind. So, yeah, I think it's fair to suggest that, you know, like I could see Spiller being a good fit with the Texans, because I would assume that, you know, they might run a little bit of power there. I don't know. It's sort of interesting when you frame it that way, because you could make a case for all those guys. I mean, Hall in Atlanta would be really interesting, too. I'd like to see that.
I thought Hall was going to go to Tampa Bay until Leonard Fournette re-signed. Right. I figured Fournette was out the door. This is an absolute dream scenario for Hall. But now I'm a little bit worried about Hall's potential touch total, because I don't know where he's going to fall versus where the teams are picking and the various openings. I think, like, I don't know, Spiller to me, as someone of the three, probably the most proven pass catcher, there's a spot in Atlanta for him that to me makes a little bit more sense. But you make a good point about the Texans. Like, any of these. So go ahead. And using you're talking to scouts, your phone's always blown up. You were at the combine. You and Charles Robinson went on and ate all the horseradish and shrimp at Elmo's. So what whispers? What are your sparrows saying?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, I think people were down on the quarterback class and down on the running back class from what I could gather. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, at that point, I think some people were wondering whether Kenneth Walker would run a fast enough 40 to sort of secure RB1 status. And he did, but then Hall goes out and, you know, and puts up an even better workout all around. So, you know, that kind of started the debate a little bit there. So to be honest, there wasn't a lot of buzz this year around the running backs that I heard. Some of the guys you have a little bit lower on your list, it's been interesting kind of talking to people about them. And yeah, again, it's, I think there was disappointment that James Cook didn't go to the Senior Bowl. That would have been, I think he would have really stood out there. So we missed out on that, and we didn't get to see, you know, a full workout from him either.
Well, then let's talk about these other guys really quickly, and maybe that'll help. If one of these five goes to either the Texans or the Falcons, their fantasy stock is absolutely going to be through the roof. Even with Marcus Mariota potentially, for as long as Marcus Mariota is going to stay healthy, that is, potentially, you know, vulturing the goal line, I still think any one of these five guys could make a giant fantasy impact for those two locations. Personally, I'd love to see Walker in Buffalo because of the wild skill set that we talked about attached to Josh Allen, and that the frenzy of that whole offense would be a lot of fun. But let's start with Kieran Williams, Notre Dame, not CJ Procise. Let's get CJ Procise out of everybody's minds. I know we're all stinging from it. Maybe I'm just speaking from experience. This is a new person, 5'9", 194. So size, interesting. 21 years old. He's from St. Louis. Also played defense in college. I like some of those players who've like moved around in different formations or know different sides of the ball. I think it gives another layer to their skill sets. He received offers from Michigan and Wisconsin, but decided to go to Notre Dame and committed early. In fact, didn't see much action until 2020. And then he led the Irish in rushing in back-to-back seasons. And most notably, he posted 77 catches for over 670 receiving yards over those last two college efforts. Give me what he does best and what his biggest con is.
Yeah, I would say his biggest strength would be third down ability. I mean, I think that's really where he's going to shine, and it's going to reflect in my comp that I made for him. I mean, he's a very tough kid. He seems like he is, you know, going to be a coach's dream. I've heard he's interviewed well. You know, there was some question about like maturity a little bit earlier in his career, but I haven't heard much since then on that. You know, they really swore up and down about his ability. I know his dad played football. I think his uncle played football as well, college and maybe even pro as well. But, you know, team captain type with some toughness despite the lack of size, really valuable on third downs, pass protection skills for, you know, he's probably He's certainly the most willing pass protector that I watched this year. Wasn't always beautiful, but it was, I mean, like he savored that duty. And that's the kind of player I think he is. And more instinctive runner than maybe he's given credit for too. And I think will be, you know, a very, very solid functional pro.
So that pass protection was a question because there are conflicting reports about, I think you answered it though by saying he's a willing pass protector, even if his technique is not up to snuff.
Yeah, he comes flying in sometimes and tries to like knock guys off their block. I mean, your job is to get in the way. And I think there's a little bit of zeal that needs to be sort of toned down in that regard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, he's a gritty kid. I mean, he did everything that they asked him to do there, you know, including giving up some of his carries at times. But yeah, I think he's got good vision as a pass protector too. You know, these guys have to make choices, right? They have to decide who's coming on a blitz. Which lineman is being taxed the most? What are our protection schemes and how to, you know, what are my responsibilities? He made a couple of late saves. He's got really good recovery ability. Like we talk about offensive linemen having that, you know, he made a play against Cincinnati where they came on a pressure and, you know, the cone doesn't get the ball off. I think he was a quarterback. I'm sure I remember who was throwing, but, you know, basically any other quarterback or any other, backfield, we should say the quarterback gets killed. You know, he came in and made one of those sort of Walter Payton plays. You go, wow. So you're right. I think it's fair to say that, you know, his willingness to do it is up there, his toughness, and he just needs a little bit of technique work there.
Obviously, you talked about his third down potential, right? And when we talk about pass catchers out of the backfield, like, yeah. I think people have to understand that there are running backs who run routes now. Like, this is a modern era NFL. Like, this kid isn't just taking dump offs. He's running slot routes. Like, he is being used as a receiver in the game. That is definitely a pro. But you also said because of that, maybe his ability as a runner is being overshadowed. And yet, he only ran a 4.65.
Yeah.
So how concerned are you about that amalgamation of skills?
Yeah, I'm okay with 4.6 running backs. I really am. I mean, I've learned to accept that in the sense that, you know, our immediate reaction is, well, he didn't run a 4.4. He didn't run a low 4.5.
Well, he's small, too.
And
I mean,
he's
it's
small.
Not, you know.
Correct. Yeah. That's a fair question to raise is that if you're a 235-pound back and you run a 4.6, okay, there's really, you know, size to speed ratio. But if you're 5'9", 187 or whatever he is, okay, that's a different discussion here. What eased my concern a little bit is that his 10-yard split was rather good. I think it was a 1.55 or 1.56, which would put him kind of in the upper end, the higher end of running back. So he just doesn't have long speed. You know, if you're in a zone system where, you know, you're requiring these guys to, you know, hit a straight way for 15, 20 yards, maybe he's not your man. But, you know, in a combination of zone and gap scheme, in a pure gap system, you know, what he gives you as a runner will be, that speed will be ample. I don't think he's going to be a, you know, hitting more than doubles in the NFL. He's mostly a singles hitter as a runner.
So that speed issue is what led me to my comp. I've cheated a little bit here because I like to say at a player's ceiling, he's this guy. And at his floor, he's this guy. Maybe he ends up somewhere on that spectrum. So to me, at his ceiling, he could be Austin Eckler. And you know I don't throw that comp around lightly.
I know.
My bad.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I do feel some of that. But at his floor, I'm feeling much more Myles Gaskin vibes.
I love that comp. I think that's one of your better ones too. I mean, the usage wise, absolutely what Eckler. I don't think he's as twitchy and as, you know, like, you know, I mean, like the Houdini act stuff. You'll see a ton of that, but certainly the toughness that Austin Eckler has. But Gaskin, I think skill set wise makes a lot of sense. I came up with James White. I don't know if that's perfect, but in terms of how he'll be utilized, his rough size, you know, if you have to lean on him as a volume back for a game or two, like the Patriots did in the Super Bowl that one year. Okay, you can do it, right? He's tough enough. He's instinctive. He'll know the playbook back and forth. But yeah, over the course of a season, probably not, which is why, you know, Gaskin, I think, nails it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I love it.
That's also good for fantasy minds, right? We got to understand, like, what's realistic, not just not everybody can be an Alvin Kamara comp, right, and a Jonathan Taylor comp, and right, like we're in a Joe Mixon comp. Like, let's give some variation here. Yeah. Last guy we're going to talk about. This is I'm really high on James Cook out of Georgia. You mentioned his absence from the Senior Bowl. I too was disappointed. He's probably best known for being Dalvin Cook's little brother. So let's get that out of the way. He's 5'11", 199 pounds, 22 years old. He'll be 23 in September. So if we're talking about age, if people want to get hung up on it, he's obviously a little bit older than some of the other top running backs in this year's class, but he has been an immediate impact player since high school. He did it when he went to Miami Central. He did it in college, where he actually initially committed to Florida State because he wanted to go follow his brother. But then he went to Georgia. And after Georgia's 2021, I think he's probably feeling himself with that decision.
I
think part of the reason, if we're going to talk about his role at Georgia, like, Georgia's a powerhouse, obviously, but he has for a long time been part of a timeshare. And I think that's maybe why he's fallen a little bit in the rankings. This past year, he was the 1B to Zamir White's 1A. So What's your take on that situation and his potential as a standalone running back?
Yeah, that's interesting. I suspect that he doesn't have the play strength and the, you know, the sheer bulk to hold up over the course of a season as a, you know, 200-ish carry running back, but, you know, whatever. I don't know what even the leading backs get these days. It feels like it's less and less. But yeah, I mean, I think he's really going to be your perfect complement, and not just because that was how he's used it at Georgia. I just think, you know, his game is really slated towards, like, there were scouts asking to see when he had first committed to the Senior Bowl. They said, we want to see him at slot receiver. You know, we want to see what his, not just his third down ability, but kind of what you were talking about with Kyren Williams, like running option routes and, you know, how well does he do that sort of thing? I mean, he's got home run ability. There's no doubt about it, but as an every down back, boy, I don't know. I mean, for a team that maybe doesn't run the ball a ton, I could see it in the right kind of system where your number two is maybe a little bit of a bigger back. Maybe. Yeah, I could see. But you're right. I mean, he's got the burst and he's got the playmaking ability that, you know, some of these other guys we mentioned may not have on a consistent play-by-play basis.
He's just so smooth. I think, like, if Walker is twitchy and shifty, he is smooth and fluid and, like, just like water through holes.
Yes.
And you mentioned, like, his pass catching ability. I mean, he runs a real route tree. At this fascinating stat about wanting to see him as a slot receiver. I think, you know, you're right when you mention his cons, right? He's not terribly physical. He won't break a lot of tackles. He has trouble sustaining power. But I mean, maybe we have been drunk on too many Kyle Shanahan zone scheme running backs who just fly. And he seems to me so perfectly built for that sort of system.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, and so it's clear, like, I'm not questioning his toughness. It's actually really tough. Like, he took some big hits this year. I just think he's just not going to be strong enough to sort of withstand the kind of punishment there. I don't know if I said that wrong or what, but yeah, I think you're right. I think the Shanahan tree keeps growing, and the McVay tree, and we've been growing in every corner of the NFL universe, it feels like. So yeah, I mean, that's I think the perfect home for him, and a creative offensive mind that will, you know, use him on some jet sweeps and, you know, motion him into the backfield from the slot and vice versa. And again, just play him as a strict wide receiver on some of these plays too. I mean, I think that's really where you're going to get your most bang for the buck from him and have him be a 15 touch guy, you know, 8 carries, 8 catches, boom, there you go. I think that could be he could be a really impactful player at that volume.
Comp him for us.
I don't think I even came up with one ahead of time. I haven't written him up yet, but let me think here. I think Nyheim Hines is the one that I had in mind. I don't know if I officially stamped that or not. I did. Okay. So the thing with Hines is, like, you know, you could make a case that, boy, he deserves more carries, but there's Jonathan Taylor there, right? Obviously. But when they do use him, you know, he's got that little slashing ability. He's comfortable running just about any kind of route. similar sort of package size wise. So yeah, I mean, that was the guy that I think I ended up on.
JD McKissick comes to mind. He's kind of like a thorn in the side of an RB1 for fantasy managers.
Yeah.
I came up with Andre Ellington.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yep. Right.
Size is right on, receiving ability, but I do think Cook is faster. He has better footwork. And I do see some shades of a less powerful, which seems to be the theme here, Aaron Jones. Like, if Cook could land in a zone scheme system with a quarterback that knows how to, that defenses have to regularly account for, a la Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he could fly for fantasy, especially in, like, as we're talking about PPR.
Hey, you got me thinking now, because I specifically remember questioning whether Jones coming out of college could be a volume guy. And you know, maybe there's something to that, to where, you know, you look at players in that kind of 200-pound range. Maybe Jones is a little thicker, but I don't recall. But yeah, I mean, he's been a consistent kind of 200-plus carry guy the last 3-4 years and made it work. And obviously he's put up bonkers numbers, doesn't miss games too terribly often. So, you know, having said that, maybe Cook, I'm underestimating his 3-down 17 game ability here.
Any landing spots that come to mind now that we've mentioned the last two players?
Yeah. And you've got me thinking too, with the kind of the star quarterback element to it. I mean, boy, do we dare put him in Kansas City or something like that? I'm just trying to think of a play. Obviously, they have Edwards-Helaire. Yeah, I'd have to. Who do you got? I got to think of a little bit on this one.
Well, you know, I don't know if it'll work, and there's so many weapons, but like Miami might be interesting. Sure. If I'm thinking about the Shanahan tree,
right? Good point. Yep.
And just a type, right? Like having a particular type.
Wait a minute. We're missing the obvious one. Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's Dalvin's compliment. Wait a minute. This is, I know you wanted to avoid the brother talk, but think about who their coach is, right? It's Kevin O'Connell. I mean.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, I'm just saying, how do we overlook that? Wow. How did I overlook that? I don't know.
I mean, there's probably a writer in Dalvin's contract saying a literal no compete clause in right. Dalvin's contract.
Especially not him. Right. Yeah.
Right. So it'll be interesting. I want you to rank these guys now, 1 through 5. Who are your tops?
Yeah. The ones that we talked about are just my overall top.
Well, if
top
there are more that fantasy heads need to. So full disclosure, listeners, these are the five that are the consensus most discussed. So those are the five that we are going to profile in my written series, my rookie snapshot profile. I do a deep dive on the top three we talked about.
Yeah.
Eric profiles all of the players and has tons of literature. So if there are other players that you want to, we won't be covering them here, but if fantasy managers or listeners want to do some homework on their own, who are your top five?
Yeah. So the guys we talked about, I would put Breece Hall first.
Yeah.
Little, you know, small gap or small drop to Kenneth Walker, you know, just again, I think a little bit of that home run ability. I would probably put Cook third. I mean, I just think that he's got a little bit better chance, especially from a fantasy perspective, to be kind of that special difference making back, even if his touches are managed a little bit early. Atlanta might be a good spot too, thinking of that, not just for geography reasons, but, you know. And then the question is, do you put more faith in Spiller eventually becoming more of a complete back? Because he's got, I think, more potential physically speaking than Kyren Williams does. But I think Kyren Williams has a higher floor, because I think I feel confident that he's going to do something. Like, if you told me in 3 years, you know, or told me tomorrow that Spiller is going to be a bust in 3 years, would I be stunned? No. Would I also be tempted to bet on him? Yes. So from that perspective, Kyren Williams just gives you a little bit more sort of guaranteed money. If you're one of those people on your 401k allocations says, I'm a little bit conservative, you're going Kyren Williams. If you're a little bit more of the risky type, the younger, you know, got my whole life in front of me, maybe Isaiah Spiller would be your pick. So it's tricky kind of separating those two.
And you like Damon Pierce too, right?
I do. If I had to make a top five just of all these guys, I'm actually shocked that, like, there hasn't been a little bit more buzz on him. But Pierce just didn't get the ball last year. I cannot believe it, watching him run the football, that this guy, I think, had 100 touches, 100 carries or whatever it was. I mean, it was, it was a crime against humanity to see him get three or four great runs and then they pull him out and you don't see him for you know, 8 minutes of football. Like, what's going on here, right? Is that why Dan Mullen got fired? It should be. I think that's a good reason. Tyler Allgeier, too, from BYU. Boy, there's something about this kid that's like, I don't know if he's Arian Foster or what, but I mean, he is really a fascinating player who has that home run ability and a big back's body. I mean, he's really interesting.
All right. So there were some extra names you guys can study. My top five, we talked Breece Hall. I'm surprised we're in step here. Breece Hall. Then I've got Walker.
Yep.
Then I've got Cook. I am surprised. I feel good about myself, actually, for putting him number three.
We
got
to agree once in a while, right? I mean, you know.
I think we agree most of the time. Then I would take Spiller because I think that Spiller, your Harris comp, really. I just think you have a higher floor in terms of productivity, potential productivity. And then the Notre Dame kid last.
Williams, yeah. Yeah, I think that ultimately, if you're going to bet on one of those two to have a little bit, you know, more diverse career, maybe Spiller gives it to you. But Kyren Williams, I think, is going to be very valuable. Just from a fantasy perspective, it's got to be that PPR type of league, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for this episode. Our first edition of the Rookie Snapshot Pod, starting off with running backs. If you want more, you can follow me on Twitter at LizLoza_FF. You can follow Eric at Eric_Edholm. And while you're there, make sure you're following the mothership at Yahoo Fantasy. Matt Harmon will be back on Tuesday with special guest Matt Waldman. If you want talent, my gosh, he is the king. For more draft talk. Until then, we're out.